What does this button do?
Got all these demons in me. Lord, wash all this blood off my hands. All this greed and envy all around me, had to cut my loosings. It's so much easier to fly with no burden. I could point the finger, but nobody's perfect. Should've known better.
We still run it up. If you get content with just okay, then you don't want enough. Paper chase to sum it up. Running from these demons, I've been dreaming about them hunting us. Paranoid is on them tuck, but depressed, we gotta slide. Try and put this pride aside. Attitude gonna get me killed, I get that from my mama's side. Movie time if we up late. How I wash his blood off my hands, I still see his face. 40K to beat the case. Love, hurt, and pain kills. Pussy mixed with pain pills. Hit his hood so many times, it feel like the same drill. Scream squad, then he changed. Wonder how his gang feel. I be with them killers in the trenches, grandma.
Former Philadelphia police homicide detective. Police allege Nordo used his power as a detective to intimidate and groom male witnesses and suspects in sexual encounters. According to the report, a male victim came forward back in 2005 telling police that Nordo sexually assaulted him. Why that allegation now 14 years ago wasn't followed up, authorities can't say.
You don't know what kind of new information may arrive. Obviously, when you have a situation where there are shocking allegations, sometimes it emboldens people who have also been victimized to come forward.
A large portion of allegations in the presentment were redacted, blacked out to hide names of the alleged victims. District Attorney Larry Krasner says he can't go into detail as this investigation is ongoing, and naming victims would compromise their testimony in court.
One of our concerns in a case like this is to make sure that we protect the safety and the privacy of individuals who have been victimized. There may be other reasons that are investigative in nature that I'm not at liberty to discuss at this time.
The Fraternal Order of Police, the police officers union, told NBC 10 after reading the allegations against Nordo, they will not be providing him with a lawyer. As for Nordo, he was arrested this morning. Krasner believes he should stay behind bars.
Our position is that he should be held.
Police say Nordo committed sexual deviant crimes over a 10-year period. They also say it is unknown how many cases were compromised due to Nordo's involvement. In Northeast Philadelphia, Stephen Fisher.
You tuned in to LWOP Radio, Life Without Parole Radio, Fet Life Station, every Friday from 11 to 12 p.m. And today we have some special guests. We have my man Gabi, he's calling live and direct from, where you at, Gabi?
I'm at SCI Phoenix.
Okay, we're at SCI Phoenix. We coming live from SCI Phoenix. We got his mother here, we have his brother here, and we also have his son here. So we're going to tap in, we're going to take advantage of your phone call, man, because obviously you only have 15 minutes, man, so we're going to dive straight into it, man. You got a lot of support out here, Gabi. Whether it be through me, whether it be through Swab, man, and your family. So how does that feel, bro?
I'm blessed, man, because it's people that don't have this, man, and I'm blessed to have my family, friends. I'm blessed to have y'all here for me, man, trying to prove
this
my
This is
answer,
a call
man.
From SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution. This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Well, let's do this, man. Let's maximize this time, bro. You here today, brother, because we're trying to get your message out there. You are sitting in prison for a crime you didn't commit. And if we don't go ahead and educate the general public, if we don't go ahead and get this recording into the right rooms, if we don't get this podcast, this visual into the right rooms, nobody's going to know that you're sitting in prison dying. So God, for the viewers, so give them a little backstory. Me and you was incarcerated. I did 28 and a half years in prison for a wrongful conviction. And ultimately, I end up finding some things in my files that ultimately overturned my conviction. So now I'm here trying to support you the same way you were supporting me as a brotherhood on the inside.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So I want to ask you something. So how many years did you serve before you got arrested for this case?
I was down almost 2 years before they even charged me for the case. I had like, I had no idea they was coming to charge me for the case. It just popped up one day, took me there and questioned me. All right, so I'm gonna break it down like this. Initially, the case had happened when I was home. I remember it happening because it happened not too far from my mom's house, and I was called to go around there. And they had told me, my sister had called my phone, was like, listen, somebody got shot in front of my house. I think it's, she mentioned my older brother name, right? So she like, she was scared to go look because she didn't want to find out if it was or not. So I go around there and look, I see it wasn't, I leave. That same night, I get grabbed just for questioning because I live across the street from the scene. They question me, leave me alone. They like, okay, you ain't seen nothing. Okay, leave me alone. For a year and a half, then I get locked up for unrelated charges, which was weed. And being though I was on parole, they sent me as a parole violator up the greatest room. That's when I was over there with you. I was over there with Suave.
This is a call from SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution. This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
I was over there with you, over there with Suave. So when I'm sitting there, one day they tell me I had court. And I'm like, I don't have court coming up in September. So they take me down to court. It was this detective named Nardo. He walked in there, introduced himself as ATF. He didn't say he was a homicide detective or nothing. He said, I'm ATF. I'm taking you to go question you about some guns. I was like, okay. So they go take me. Whole time, he questioning me about this murder that happened now. So I get him the same story that I told him to begin with. I wasn't there. I was called. I was in the house playing a video game with my friend when he was called, when I was called to go around there. So he actually takes me all the way back to Greatestford, right? In his own car, right? And leave me at Greatestford, strip me, and same thing as that. Then a month later, he comes all the way up to Greatestford, Philip Nardo, and takes me all the way back to 8th and Race, the homicide division. And question me a little bit. I asked for a lawyer. They don't get me a lawyer. And they charged me with the homicide a year and a half later. But at the time, I didn't know that what was the evidence, nothing. They didn't tell me nothing. They just charged me with homicide.
So without this particular case that you're currently litigating, you're currently fighting, you would have been home free.
I'd have been home 10 years ago. I'd have been home free, man.
So,
yep.
This is the craziest question, right? Because people don't understand it. How do you wake up each and every day and continue to fight, like to continue to keep on this, you know, this face, this strong face, you know what I mean? Stay strong for your family. How do you get up each and every day knowing that you're in prison for a crime you didn't commit?
My mom, every day I'm on his phone. Every day I'm on his phone. She's telling me to stay strong. And I also know that I got support out there who's helping me prove my innocence, because I wouldn't be trying to make as much noise. I wouldn't be trying to get this heard in the right places if I wasn't innocent. You see what I'm saying? Because everything comes to the light. So I wouldn't be trying to fight this hard if later on something's going to come to the light and be like, damn, this guy was a liar the whole time. This guy was doing this. No, like, I know I'm innocent, so I wake up every day trying to fight. I know that I have my son's support. I have my mom. I have so much that I look forward to seeing and being around with. So that's what keeps me strong, man. My brothers, my friends.
Ultimately.
Like, that's what keeps me going.
Ultimately, what was your sentence?
I was sentenced to the maximum of 30 years, 15 to 30 years, right? But they didn't count that first year and a half, so it fell to 16 and a half to 30 years. And the 16 and a half ain't guaranteed. People get to 16 and a half, end up doing 20, 22, 23. So the maximum is 30 years.
We got your family here, man, and we're going to discuss a lot more about your case, man. But I want the viewers to, you know, hear you interact with your family. I want them to hear how y'all daily community, you know, y'all communicate daily with each other. And Suave's gonna he's gonna go ahead and translate what I'm about to ask you, so it can be it could be translated to your mother. And this question is for both of y'all. How hard
for
you and your mother? This is for you and your mother. So Suave's going to translate this to her. How have y'all been able to maintain y'all relationship even though you sit in a prison for a crime you didn't commit?
¿Cómo de difícil se le hace para usted mantener la relación con tu hijo sabiendo que tu hijo está preso por un crimen que no cometió?
Wow, bien triste porque yo sé que mi hijo no lo hizo, ¿me entiendes? Y es algo que voy a seguir luchando hasta el último día de mi vida, que él salga y que yo siento que él, yo sé que él no lo hizo, que él va a salir, ¿me entiendes?
She said it's very difficult knowing that her son didn't commit a crime or the crime that he's in prison for, and that she have all faith that one day the truth will come out to light and he will come home.
Same question to you, God. Like, how do you wake up each and every morning, you know, knowing that you're sitting in jail for a sentence you didn't, you know, for a crime you didn't do? Like, how do you stay strong, you know, for not only yourself, but for your family?
I have to, you know, it's time, right, where I'm on this phone and I hear my mom cry, right? And I try to stay strong, but she don't know I'm crying too. But I don't show it, you know, because I had to stay strong for my mom, man. I had to let her know that everything is all right and everything is looking good, right? Because this not like, there's so much evidence, bro. There's so much evidence that proves my innocence, right? Opposed to the evidence that proves that I'm involved with the case, right? So I try to tell her, you know, I talk to my mom every single day, but I don't miss a day without calling my mom. And this is what keeps us together. Like, I'm real close to my mom. Like, I try to call her in the morning. I try to call her before I go to sleep every single day, right? And I try to assure her, like, mom, we're going to be all right. Everything looking good. Look at the support we got. Look at the people that's behind us. Look at the people that's contacting her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a lot of people who try to help me, and she see that, right? And that's what keeps it strong. Sort of like this right here, this interview we having. Like, you telling me that she not going to leave here and be like, damn, like, I'm not the only one that believe in my son. His friends do, too. Suave believe in him. Rob believe in him. I was telling y'all this then, 10 years ago. Yo, I ain't do this. I got charged. And y'all believe me then, and y'all believe me now. And this is what keeps her strong as well, because when she go home later on and she replay this interview and replay this event that's happening this morning, she going to say, I'm not the only one that believe in him. They believe in him, too.
So I got your son here too, man, and I want to ask you and your son, little God, you know, man, I want to go ask y'all both the same question, and starting with little God, how have y'all been able to maintain a relationship despite you being behind prison walls and prison gates? So how old were you, God, when your pop went to prison?
When he got charged, I was 4 years old.
How old are you now?
17.
Okay.
17 now. But when he first got charged, I was 4.
And what have y'all been able to, you know, because look, I did 28 and a half years, and communication with your family is extremely important. You cherish those moments because you don't know when you're going to have that person alive, you know what I mean, or see that person again, I should say, or lose that person. So how y'all been able to maintain your relationship even though he's been locked up?
He tries to call whenever he can, whatever time is best for him. He just try to call, or like Zoom visits. We try like just stay in contact as much as we can, because they already took away most of his time. So the most we could do is just try to stay in contact.
You have 1 minute left.
Until he's proven
innocent. Hang up, I'm going to call right back.
All right. So you said you try to stay in contact with him and do use the all the avenues you possibly can to stay in contact, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how is that though? You out here growing up without your pop. Like, how hard is that, bro?
Well, I mean, that's really hard because, like, all the memories that kids usually have with their pops, I ain't really get to, like, experience that. So it's kind of like most moments, I just try to cherish what we got. So that's, like, little 15-minute phone calls. It might not be the most, but at least I get to talk to my pops, feel me, get to hear his voice, know that he good. All
right. Listen, God, when the phone goes off, please call back. We're going to go ahead and continue this interview with your family. I'm going to ask your mom a question, ask your son a question. But when you go ahead and call back.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
I want to finish that question, right? With me, my daughter died at the age of 27, and she was 4 years old when I got arrested in 1997, my kid's mother was actually 6 months pregnant with my son, Rob, when I went to prison. And communication was a lot better back then because we could get mail. We had pictures, you know, we had cards, you know, and it's a little different now. In your era, it's a little different in your era because you don't have those type of things that I was afforded. So the phone calls can't be enough, bro. Like, when was the last time you seen him, like physically seen him?
Well, I saw him in person when we had went to go see him. I want to say like a month or two ago.
Okay.
Yeah, about a month or two ago.
Suave, I want you to ask his mother the same question. How difficult has it been not being able to physically... Gob, you on?
Gob?
Yeah, okay, you back? All right.
La pregunta que te está haciendo es, ¿cómo de difícil se la ha hecho por usted mantener una relación con su hijo sabiendo que está preso por un caso que no cometió? Y ¿qué es lo más que tú extrañas de su hijo?
El cariño, que siempre él está ahí, me ayudaba. Siempre se preocupaba por mí. Mami, tú comiste. Mami, vamos para aquí, vamos para allá. Y a veces yo le decía que no me importa, yo te voy a ir a buscar, tú sabes, cosas así. Y es bien difícil ver a mi hijo preso y me ven, alguna gente me ven tranquilita y cuando estoy en mi casa ese dolor está ahí.
I mean, she's saying it's very difficult because a lot of people see her, you know, like she's chilling, she's calm, but when she's home, she feels the pain because Gabby used to always call her, making sure that she was good. Mom, I'm going to come pick you up. What do you need? Are you all right today? And she missed that from her son.
So, Gabby, same question for you, bro. Before I got released, we met up again at SCI Phoenix. I met you in the gym. And one of the very first things that you told me is, I got to get closer to home, bro. Because you was up in the mountains at the time.
Can you speak up a little bit, Rob?
Yeah, I remember when I first met up again with you again, and I seen you at SCI Phoenix because the last time I seen you was at Greaterford. So when right. I seen you in the gym, I remember the very first thing you told me was, you mentioned your son, you mentioned your brother, you mentioned your mom, you mentioned your family, and how important right. it was to get closer to home. And through the grace of God, you was able to do that. So how difficult has it been since you left Greaterford, which is 45 minutes from Philly, to actually physically see your family?
It's, you know, I had left Greaterford 2015, right? 10 years ago, I left Greaterford. And I got sent to the mountains. You know, sometimes they just transfer people, send them out, and I was away 5 hours. My mom, not one time I got a visit from my mom, right? It wasn't not my choice.
It's because my mom can't travel. That's hard for my mom. My mom can't drive here to Phoenix in 45 minutes. She needs my brother to bring her. She needs, you know what I'm saying? So I went 8 years straight, 8 years straight without hugging my mom, without nothing. Like, just seeing. And then, thank God, later on, the video visits came. But imagine before the video visits, I didn't get nothing. Like, I didn't visually see my mom at all, right, for years. But when I actually seen her, I had mentioned this before to somebody, right? When I seen my mom for the first time, I walk in this visiting room, and she walked up and gave me this hug that I felt like I was 7 again, bro. The smell of my mom made me cry. Like, I felt like, yeah, just the smell. Like people won't understand this today in this situation like I've been. I'm in a situation y'all been in. Right, where you don't see your mom for so many years.
FCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Right, and your mom come and give you a hug. Remind you, I'm 6'2", 270. My mom might be 5'2", 140 or something, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like her arms wrapped around my whole body.
Right.
And it's like, that's from so many years and not seeing my mom. Right, but even through that, it was still like that relationship we maintained through the phone of like talking and knowing we everything gonna be all right, man. And I knew that me staying out the way, not getting in trouble, not going to the hole, was gonna get me closer. So that was what drove me. You know what I'm saying, it drove me to stay out the way. That's what, you know what I'm saying, because I have to do right here, knowing that I'm going out there to do right as well.
Right. So now, how's your mindset been, though, now that you're closer to home and you get to hold your mom, you get to smell your mom? And people don't understand. I remember my mom would come see me, and I would hold her for so long that when I went back on the block, I could smell her perfume on my shirt. And that shirt, I wouldn't wash that shirt. Because people don't understand, we don't know the next time we're going to see our family members, if we're ever going to see them again. And this is the psychological torture that people don't understand. See, when they see that we're incarcerated, God, the general public looks at a person that committed a crime, and the timing is what goes with your action. But we got a person like yourself that is sitting in prison for a crime he didn't commit. And you sitting there each and every day trying to encourage your family, encourage your son to continue to educate himself, continue to become
FCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
The best version.
Subject to recording and monitoring.
The best version of himself. And that's hard, bro. That's hard on your son. That's hard on your mom. So I'm going to ask your mom and your son a question, and Suave's going to translate for me, but I want Suave to ask your mom and your son, how important is it to know that Gabi is changing his life? He's becoming this better man, even though he's serving a sentence.
¿Cómo de importante para ti que Gabi ha cambiado su vida y ha transformado su vida? A pesar que está preso por todo este tiempo.
Porque él es un muchacho bien fuerte. Yo sé que él tiene buenos pensamientos. Y a veces yo lo veía mucho caído. Pero ya yo sé que él tiene esa fe, como que él no lo hizo. Yo sé que él va a salir. Y creo en la inocencia de mi hijo.
She says she sees the change. And she knows Gabby is a man of character. And sometimes she's seen him when he was down, but now she's seeing him more up, and she believes that he understands his faith.
So, Gob, Lord Gob, I want to ask you, so now that you get to see, you grown now, bro. You're a grown man, and, you know, you're living your own life. So how is important to... Because we hear things in our neighborhoods, bro. Like, that's Gabi's son right there. Yo, your pop was crazy, bro. This and that, blah, 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 right? You'll always hear those stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are always going to highlight the negative because this is our environment, bro. Like, this is what we were raised in. So how important is it now for you, Lil' God, to hear your pop? Like, damn, man, yo, he's a barber now. He got his barber license, man. He's programmed. He's educating. My papa's staying strong, bro. Like, even though he is in jail serving a sentence that he didn't do.
Yeah, so it's like, back then, like, I used to hear stories, and I used to be like, the way he talked to me, it's like he talked to me like he a dad. So it's like, when I asked him something, he'd be like, yeah, whatever I need, give it to me. So it's like, when I hear stories about back then, it's like, I don't really try to believe it. But it's like, for me, but it's like, some shit is like, they would just be like, yeah, you used to be crazy, but not, how do I put it? They used to be like, feel me? They used to just talk negative and only bring up the negative and not really bring up the positive. Be like, oh, all right, he did this, he did that. They only bring up the bad things. So it's like, feel me? When I talk to them, I really try to hear them out. Cause, feel me? Cause I feel like people just go off what they see, what they hear. They don't really go off the person. They don't want to hear from the person. So, and like when he talking, he be like he talk about business ideas. He be talking about what he trying to do when he get home. So it's like, it's not like he coming home to nothing. It's like he really got something planned. He really trying to make an impact on the world. And feel me? And the fact that he's still incarcerated for a crime that he didn't commit. And even if you look at public information. It's like, it just don't add up to him. There's no information that he was pretty much involved in this. So every time I hear about the case, like, it just gets me angry, because it's like, it just don't make sense. It don't make sense how he's still in that predicament after all these years.
That's the public perception. And we going, when your pop, he only has 15 minutes. And for people that don't understand, if you're tuning in to LWOP Radio, first of all, thank you, but we're going to let you know that in prison, especially in PA, you only get 15-minute phone calls. You get 3 a day, and depending if you're on an honor block or not, you might get 5. So those 3 15-minute phone calls, you have to do everything in a day. So if you have a lawyer, that's 1. If you got a family, that's another. If you got a significant other, a girlfriend, that's another. So basically, there's not enough time in a day to communicate with your families, and that's why it's so important that we're doing what we're doing here. God, this question is for you, and I want you to ask your mom this question. I want your mom to hear your voice ask this question. You could say it in English. Suave is going to go ahead and say it in Spanish so your mom can hear it. But I wanted to hear it come from your voice. So, first of all, how's your Spanish, God? Let's do that. How's your Spanish, bro?
My Spanish is perfect, man. All right. Spanish is perfect.
All right. Well, you ask your mom this question, and Swab is going to go ahead and translate this to English. What do you want your mom to know about her son that she doesn't know? So I want you to ask your mom this simple question. What does she expect from you when you're released? Because you're coming home. What does your mom expect from you when you're released? Ask her that in Spanish.
El preguntó, ¿verdad? Que si, ¿qué es lo que tú esperas de mí cuando me suelten, cuando yo tenga mi libertad, right? So, un hombre. Soy un hombre ahora. Yo caí, like, I'm a man now. Cuando yo caí, yo tenía 22, 23 años. Y, ¿verdad? Y yo no sabía las cosas que sé ahora. Yo no sabía cómo ser un hombre. Yo no sabía, ¿entiendes? Yo pensaba que yo era un hombre, ¿verdad? Pero cuando un hombre se viene con responsabilidades y cosas así, ¿verdad? Y las responsabilidades que yo estaba viendo para ese tiempo no eran importantes, responsabilidades importantes, ¿verdad? Pero ahora tengo la licencia de barbero, que tengo una carrera por siempre, porque uno de un barbero sigue cortando pelo hasta los 70 años si lo dejan. So, siempre voy a estar bien.
Estoy loco por estar al lado de ti, estar ahí cuidándote, estar contigo.
Yo también,
estoy
loco, mi amor.
Por comer tu comida, por disfrutar de tu sonrisa.
Claro.
Y es eso, que yo soy una persona diferente desde lo que está ahí, right? And in English, I wanted to touch a little bit on what you had asked my son about stuff that he had heard.
We're gonna do that. So God, but I want to hear from your mom. I want to hear from your mom. What does she expect from Gabi coming home? This man today that we hear over the phone that says he loves his mom, that loves his son, loves his brother. Ask your mom, what does she expect? Simple as that. Ask her that in Spanish. What's his
expectation? Mami, la pregunta es, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Que también me gustaría saber la respuesta de eso. ¿Qué tú esperas de mí cuando yo salga?
Bueno, que tú trabajar, compartir el tiempo que tuviste allá, como uno dice, atrasado, pues compartirlo, uh-huh. Compartir con tu hijo que desde los 4 años y ahora va para 18 años.
You have 1 minute left.
Y todavía, tú sabes, está allá adentro. Y
I mean, she expects for him to come home, work, and share time with the family, time that he's spending there and with the family, and to spend quality time with his son, because when he went in, his son was 4 years old and he's going on 18 today.
Yo, you got anything you want to say before your time? We got your family, man. We're going to continue this, man.
I'm going to call back.
I'm trying to figure out how your 15 minutes. Phone calls ain't 15 minutes, bro. You had 3 minutes. You had 7 minutes. I mean, whatever you got to do, this is what we got to do. These are the hurdles we got to overcome, man, to get our stories out there, man. So go ahead and call back in. And we're going to keep this interview
behavior,
going.
You get on the honor block. When you got good behavior, you put you on the honor block. You get
okay.
Rewards.
Whatever it is. So until you call back in, we're going to go ahead and tap back into your son, man, and interview him. I'm going to finish interviewing him. All right?
The caller has hung up.
So your pop, before he went off, little guy, the question was, and the same question goes for you. What do you expect from your pop? And I want you to keep it a beam, bro, because, you know, he went to jail when you was a child. And I want to hear the raw truth. Like, was there ever a time where you was mad at him? Like pop. Like, I'm out here, bro. Yeah, I'm out here, bro. Where you at? Like, we need to know that. Because you obviously love him. You're down here in the studio, first thing in the morning with your mom and your brother. And I need to understand that, bro. Like, was you ever mad at him? Did you ever tell him, like, Pop, I'm mad at you, bro?
So I'm going to start from my childhood. So when I was a child, it's like, of course, I knew he wasn't coming home, but I didn't know where he was at. Like, I just knew he wasn't coming home at night, so I'm wondering. And when I was a baby, I couldn't sleep without my pops. So it was like, for me, I'm 4 or 5, wondering where my pops at. And then when I finally realized, I didn't really know what was going on until I was like, I say 11, 12. So I was like 11, 12. He finally told me, like, he felt like I was a little grown to just learn about his case, learn about what's going on. And immediately, I'm like, all right, let me hear about your case. So when he broke down his case, I was like, all right, I definitely need to try to help him get out, try to get him out of this predicament. But until then, now he just talks about business idea. He want to come home. He want to open up a barbershop. He want to have a barbershop. What, for me, just stuff like that. He just want to make business ideas because he's all, like, he's coming home. He's doing everything legal. He's trying to make up for the time that he already lost.
That's cool. But I need to get down to the truth here, bro, because I have kids too, and I know how my kids came at me. So it's a difference where with your pop, when he first went to prison, he was actually there for a crime that he committed. But then, before he was about to be released, he's now serving time for a sentence he didn't commit. Has it ever been a time where he was trying to tell you to do something that you know was positive, but you was like, hold up, Pop. Like, you ain't out here right now. Like, I got to handle this myself. Like, did y'all ever have that real conversation between son and father where you respect them as your pop, but at the same time, you like, Pop, I got to handle the things I got to handle because I'm out here. I got to take care of mommy. I got to take care of such and such. Y'all ever had that real conversation?
So there's certain points where like I'll be real busy, and he'll be like, yo, you can pick up the phone for a little 15-minute call, and of course I get that, but there's been times where I've been real busy, and of course like after I come pick up the phone, I feel like I did something that like wasn't really thorough. Or just wasn't really like appropriate. So like sometimes what I'll do is like I'll like try to pick up the phone as much as I can. Even when I'm busy, I try to just pick up the phone because I know that it's only 15 minutes and he might not get the call again. Like he could get sent to the hole. Anything could happen in jail. That's why I try to pick up the phone whenever I can, just stay in contact with him because he only get 3, 4, 5 calls a day. So he really tried to keep it limited.
All right. Is Gobby back on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right here.
All
right,
man. How many minutes you got this time, bro? Because, like...
I got an hour left. All right.
Listen, we was tapping into your son, man. I have to ask him a real question, man. Like, real rap. Like, he's 17 now. Like, he's a man. Like, he got responsibility.
What was that question?
The question was, did you and him have that real conversation about what he told you? Like, Pop, bro, I'm out here. You know what I mean? There's times where I used to try to talk to my daughter Tiffany, and, you know, she would be listening to me to a certain extent. But then she'd be like, whoa, Poppy, look, I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, I'm out here. I have to maintain. I have to move forward. I have to conduct myself as a woman. I have my own opinions. Right? Did y'all have that real conversation where you say, you know what? I can push him in the right direction. I can lead him in the right direction. I can be a father as much as I possibly can through a phone, through visits, mail. But I got to give him his space, too. Do you understand that, God?
You know, it's crazy, though, right, that we have discussions like this all the time. It's times where me and him go back and forth in a respectful way, right? Because at the end of the day, he's 17. But to me, I left him at 4. So it's stages in his life that I don't even remember. It's like that stage when he like 7, when he ain't got the 2 front teeth. I don't remember that stage. I never seen thing without his 2 front teeth missing. All that. So it's times where I still picture him as my little boy. That's my little boy, right? So it's times where we do have discussions where I gotta like tell him to do something a certain way, right? But he'll let me know, like, no, like, that's the way you would have done it. Like, this is the way I want to do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is the way it should be done. Sort of like...
This is a call from SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
When it comes to stuff with school, stuff is a little different, so I try to give them to him in my perspective, but honestly, like, it's times where it makes sense. Even with my case, I remember when he was, like, 13, 14 years old. That's when I really start breaking down my case, the evidence and stuff like that, start sending him paperwork, start telling him this, that. And from that moment, it was like he was like 15 years old, so about 2 years ago, right? 2023, 2022, when he really starts finding stuff and calling people and calling the lawyer and finding witnesses and knocking on people's door. People would answer, and then they're telling me a call that they won't call. This is a 15-year-old kid, bro, traveling on a bus to certain places because he's seen on a paperwork to say a certain address, this person lived there. They'll go knock on the door. People act like they don't live there no more.
catching the bus out to West Philly where the, supposedly a witness was out there and he's trying to find to try to get the truth. This is something the son was doing, right? And I'm looking there, I'm like, damn, you know, and it hurts because it's like, damn, my son really want me home this bad to where, like, if we was to call my lawyer right now, he'd tell you my son never missed a court date. My son never missed a court date catching the bus at the court, going straight to school, at the school coming out, going straight to work. This is what my son been doing on trying to get me out, trying to find stuff online. Like, yo, look at this. Recently, a couple days ago, right, he probably still got on his recent search where he could search. He start breaking down. He went to this, whatever law website he went to. I don't know what it was. So he's trying to break down the law to me. I'm trying to break it down some, but he's like, no, listen, read this. Right? Which, he know, I don't really know too much about the law. But it sounded like what he was reading made so much sense. And whatever law website he went to, I guess it's like a Google for law or something. So stuff like that, it's like, okay, he do know what he talking about. And I know how to chalk it up and be like, okay, he do know what he talking about this time. I'm going to tuck my tail.
This is a call from FCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
This call is subject to recording and
I think
monitoring.
It's important. You covered the point, and I ain't going to let this go. You my man, so I'm going to jump on you. You have to know what laws bind you to a system. So when you said you don't know a lot about the law, you meaning you're studying your case, you're getting to get a better understanding of your case, but you ain't just sitting around, right? I don't want the viewers to think that Gobby's just sitting around not rumbling this case.
No.
Okay,
listen, to
so
be honest,
okay.
Every single thing that's on my case. Uh-huh. Every single piece of evidence, every single piece of investigation, every witness, everything that was extracted from a homicide file, everything that was extracted from my, I've done that on my own.
I just want to get a clear understanding.
A cup of coffee, 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Because it doesn't happen. The reason I sit here today is because, first of all, God's gift. You know, He gave me another chance at life. But I would not be here if I didn't get a better understanding of my case. How to fight it, procedures, statutes, Pennsylvania law. So I have to hammer that home. That's what LWAP's about. LWAP's about, we're going to give you that support on the outside, but we need to know that you inside educating yourself, you learning the law.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, without a doubt. Like, it's days, bro. It's mornings. It's making a cup of coffee because I know what I gotta do tonight, putting this together, assisting my lawyer, like, no, this is the direction I think we should go. It wasn't like I wouldn't have got everything I got, wouldn't be trying to get in court if it wasn't for me, because to be honest, my lawyer can only do but so much. But no, it's a lot that I do, bro. Like, yeah, man. And it's frustrating because it's you're trying to, and especially when you find something, you're trying to explain it to the person, like, look what's here. You know what I'm saying? And then you can't get it out to the right person. Anytime 2 a.m, you wish you could call home. Like, yo, look what I just found. And it's so much, like, a whole cell full of paper sometimes. Bro, my son, you got to step over it. Like, this is what I go through. I'm just not sitting around.
I want to you know, tap into something because your mom's here. I want you to talk a little bit about your childhood. See, a lot of times we do these interviews, we talk about the case, we talk about what we accomplished since we've been in prison, what we're going to do when we go home, and stuff like that. It's important for people to know who we were before we went to prison, that we had a family, you know, we had loved ones, you know what I'm saying? So where'd you grow up, Beck? Where'd you grow up, God?
I grew up on Hancock and Dolphin.
Okay.
North Philly, right? I had a good childhood, man, to be honest. Like, if you sit back, like, we wasn't super poor. Well, at least my mom didn't show us that we was poor. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had clean clothes. We had clean sneakers. I had fun. I had a fun childhood, man. I had friends. Like, we wasn't savages. We played tag. We played football against other streets. We would challenge other kids on other blocks to go play football. Went to the movies. We got in the gallery. We went to the gallery, walked around like, okay, that's
so basic. You're just,
man,
a basic kid enjoying life.
Right, basic kid. Look, I cut school one time my whole life, to be honest with you. Only one time my whole life where I cut school.
Yeah.
Like, I forget. It's to me, I went to school. It just, you know, it's times when I was young. I was a knucklehead as a kid. I'm saying, having fun with my friends. Like, it wasn't like we didn't grow up as savages, bro. I'm saying, we was normal kids, so having fun.
I'm gonna ask your mom this. I'm gonna ask Suave to translate this, but Suave, I need to ask you, like, give me one moment that is gonna be embarrassing for Gabi, but it's something she remembers about him in his childhood that the viewers need to know.
Dime algo de Gabi que lo va a bochornar con el público. Pero que tú quieras que el público sepa de Gabi. Algo bien abochornoso.
Or just a great memory of him.
O cualquier una memoria buena de Gabi, que la abochorne. Cuando era chiquito, mucho. Que los moquitos le salían, algo así.
Comía mucho en casa. Pero me acuerdo algo que nunca se me olvida. Yo tengo 4 hijos, 3 varones y una nena.
She said he ate a lot, but she knows something that... Did she remember? She got 3 kids.
Cuando en casa pasaba algo que yo no sabía quién lo hizo, él se iba calladito a mi lado. Me decía, mami, fue fulano.
Whoa! When she...
Translate that for the viewers and the listeners.
Listen, Gabi been busted people when he was small, and something happened in the house that the mother did not know, Gabi used to sneak around and tell mom, "Mom, I know who did it. Such and such did it."
No doubt.
Whoa.
Pero era algo cuando pequeño, tú sabes. Ahora cuando grande, pues ya.
But that was something he did as a child, right?
Yes,
but
a child.
Something as a child that he did, but to the viewer, let's make no mistake, this man stand 10 toes down. We joking because it's an embarrassment moment, but
no.
He's a solid brother.
No, less is more. Let me tell you something, right? For the viewers, we ain't getting caught. No, we're not going to have his mom, his son, his brother be here, and we're going to even think about some he telling off. No, this is family.
I think all kids did that in life, Rob.
I had a brother and I had a sister, and when something was going on in the house, if I thought I can go ahead and get some extra allowance on the weekend because my brother did some nut stuff, I told. That is not ratting, and that is not telling. Let's not get that twisted, y'all.
My sisters for Chinese food. Yo cuando chiquito le decía las cosas a mami para que me comprara la comida china.
Yeah, so see these
hey,
are the things.
That's Hey, you hear me? That's sort of the same thing. That's why I got the first plate. I got the biggest piece of chicken.
Tell her that. I want you to tell her that in Spanish. Tell her that in Spanish. That's why you got that. Tell her that. Tell your mom that.
No. Yo le dije a ellos, por eso yo dije a las cosas, que yo sabía que yo iba a coger el primer plato. You got to go ahead and carne más grande.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you got to understand, bro, I'm the baby of the house. I'm the youngest. So I got so much love that by the time they all being bad, I'm home chilling, being nice to my mom, and she showed me all this love. I get the best thing. She buy me stuff on the side. They don't even know. They in school. I ain't even start school yet. I'm going out Value Plus, Kmart. I mean, I'm getting all the best stuff. So I was a baby.
Your mom wants to say something.
Yeah. Yo me acuerdo siempre, cuando él estaba en cuarto grado, él estaba en la escuela, creo que era de Betún. Y yo tenía un nietecito.
You have 1 minute left.
Que ella tiene 24 años. Pero a la hora de las 3 de la tarde, yo le preparaba la botella de leche al bebé y lo ponía encima de un componente que yo tenía y él llegaba de la escuela y se lo bebía. La botella.
She said, she remember.
Yo.
Our mom. When he used to come to school, she used to be paid.
Go ahead, call back. Call back, but let's swap. Swap's going to get this off. You want
the caller has hung up.
She used to be paid of a bottle of milk for her grandkid. And Gabi used to come from school and drink the milk.
Oh, come on, God.
Yeah, listen. Mom.
Straight out the bottle with the bowl and everything.
Botella. Yeah, straight out the bottle.
Él era loco. Es todavía leche con chocolate. Yo hacía la botella y esa la bebía.
Chocolate milk, and she make the bottle, and he used to drink it.
That's why he's 6'2", 240 pounds, drinking everybody's milk.
Me hicieron cesárea por él.
Yeah. Lil Guy, I'm going to ask you something, man. Do you This is for you. Do you live with your grandma?
No, my mom.
Okay, you live with your mom. Mm-hmm. All right. This question, do you find yourself doing things that sometimes your grandmama be like, yo, that's some stuff your papa would do, man?
top of the head, I can't remember.
Right.
I don't remember nothing right now.
Because I just knowing your pop and y'all demeanor's the same. It's laid back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're not super quiet, but you're not super loud. So I'm gonna ask your mom that. Is I need Swab to translate this. Is there anything that your grandson, little Gabby, does that you see the same thing in his father?
Hoy en día, tú ves cosas que el nieto tuyo hace, el hijo de Gabby, que te recuerda de Gabby.
Todo. Como everything. Duerme, everything. Como duerme, comen.
Ronca.
El altura, todo, el físico.
Es ronca también.
Sí.
From the snoring.
Yes.
The height, everything. His physical, everything reminds her of mm-hmm. Gabby.
Right. Ask her, how did, you know, this is a touchy subject, but how difficult is to see little Gabby every single day, see her son in him? How difficult is that?
¿Cómo es difícil ver a Gabby en el nieto tuyo diariamente?
Diariamente me siento bien. Es como si estuviera criando a Gabby otra vez.
She feels good. It's like raising Gabby all over again.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay. That's beautiful. Is Gabby back, man?
Yeah, I'm back here.
So, I don't know what joint you at. I was at SCI Phoenix. I had 15 minute phone calls. Them joints lasted for a full 15, and then we tap back in. But it don't matter. You making it happen, man. That's why we here, man. Yeah. LY Radio,
you
man.
You wasn't on the honor block, bro.
All right. Yeah. All right, but let's not say I wasn't an honorable dude. All right, listen. I actually, right when you went off, I asked your mom and your son. I asked your son, is there anything that he does that you know your pop used to do? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's certain things that we do. We get these characteristics, whether it be our stroll, our look, our type of clothing, the type of women. Like, I asked him, you know, is there anything that, you know, he sees himself doing that, you know, that you do? And it was a difficult, you know, answer for him. But I asked your mom, and your mom, you know, she said, you know, flat out that, you know, it's like raising you all over again, you know, having your son there. So how reassuring is it? Because you talked about your mom's love on the air, off the air. We talked about your mom many times when me and you were incarcerated. How do you feel knowing that your son got a loving home, even though he lives with his own mother, that he has a loving grandmother, that he has a loving home, that he has a support team? How do you feel that you know that your mom is raising your son like she raised you?
Oh, he's in good hands, bro. Like, to be honest, like, knowing my mom is, you know, he lived near my mom. Him and my mom probably lived 3 minutes apart, bro. Like,
this is a call from SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Like, I remember one time my mom was cooking recently. No, my mom was cooking something. And she like, no, his favorite food is this. And for her to know that meant a lot. Like, knowing that he liked kanikisa. You get what I'm saying? Like, because I'm pretty sure my grandma probably don't know what's my favorite food.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, knowing that my mom, he in a good home. His mom is amazing, bro. Like, what his mom done for him while I was in here was all that. Like, she never, like, everything. Make sure he had a phone since he was a kid for me to call. Make sure he, whenever somebody want to bring him, she make sure he's there to come see me. His mom did great with him.
Like, wow.
She didn't leave his side.
Well, listen.
Right? So,
go ahead.
So his mom played a big part of what we are today. Me and him today, the relationship that we got today is his mom.
That's right? Important.
Because she could have easily been like, oh, call later, he's in school, or do this or do that. No, she made sure his phone bill was
right.
paid. He had a phone since, yeah, I'm probably 6, 7 years old, he had a phone. Like, and me calling and making sure he are. And, you know, she made sure that, like, I'll send a paper out
to add different people to the list that he can bring you. Make sure that paper's back instantly so the person can bring you. You know, so my mom, his mom did good. He had a grandmom and grandpa that passed away. They did great with him. They was real close. But no, my son doing good, man. I'm happy because of the way he was raised, that I know he's not gonna go to the streets. I know that.
I want to tap into.
To go ahead and get a job.
I want to tap into the fact that his mother, your kid's mother. See, that's one side of it. There's another side to that where we have our kids' mothers. I'm speak for myself. I can't talk for you.
SCI Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
Ball.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Get a little closer, Ross. I
dropped the ball. I'm gonna talk for myself. I dropped the ball. Meaning, I was wrongfully convicted, but I wasn't living the right lifestyle before I went in. Simple, you know, those are facts. So when I had went to prison, I had dropped the ball on my son and daughter. I had left my kid's mother out there to fend for herself. That's not what a man does. And a lot of times that fractures the relationship because they expected a certain amount of us. We expected a certain amount from ourselves. So to have that relationship with your kid's mother and to have that relationship with your son's mother and for y'all to be able to be cordial, to, you know, to have an understanding that, okay, I made a mistake, but I'm now here and we got to do the best for our child. That was huge. So I'm gonna ask your son that same question. Like, how important was it to maintain that relationship between your mom and your father, even though they weren't together? Like, what did you do to make sure that your mom, you know, understood that you loved him and you needed those two to have some type of relationship? Like, what did you do to help him out? What did you do to help your pop out, bro?
Well, my mom and my dad, they always had a good relationship. So it's like, even though they wouldn't be together, they would be like best friends in a way. So it's like, I never lost connection with my dad because my mom always got love for my pops, strictly because he was a good dude. Like, besides what people say, he was a good dude. So, and the fact that my mom even let me stay in contact with my dad, because most moms, well, not most, but some moms won't like if a hold on, how do I rephrase? All right, so some baby moms, they don't like their kids talking to their dad as incarcerated, even if they didn't commit the crime, strictly because some moms feel like they had to do it, like they had to do everything. So basically, some moms feel like the dad had no part, even though he wasn't physically there, she still feel like he had no part. But my mom was different. Like, even though my dad wasn't there, he still made sure I had clothes. He still made sure I had this. Like, he was still there, even though he wasn't physically, like, at home with us. He was still physically, like, on the phone. He was still, like, there with us, basically.
All right, so all kids hold out. They always hold out, hoping that they mom and pop get back together. So, did you? Is that something that you? Is that something that you wished upon? Your pop and your mom being together, or you just that ship has sailed?
Yeah, why you starting trouble for, man?
Nah, I gotta ask these questions, man. This is the people want to hear this, man.
That's between them.
Okay.
Like, if he want to come home and he want to commit to that, that's up to him. Uh-huh. But I can't really choose what he want to do.
Hey, Ron, can I touch on that, Ron?
Yes, you can.
Let me touch on that. All right. My son's mom is amazing, right? We got I don't know. Like, we got a real good friendship now, like, to where, like, I don't know if, you know, you never know. We can't predict the future. I don't know what's going to happen in the future and all that, right?
Right.
It'll be beautiful if one day, you never know, like, later on in the future, we get together and help raise him, because we're going to raise him for the rest of his life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I always going to be his son. I'm always my mom's son. I'm 51. She 80. She cussed me out yesterday.
You know what I'm saying? Like, look at my mom. Like, I'm still the baby. Like, I might be a man in the street. I go home, I go lay on her lap and stuff like that. So this is, like, I tell him he's always going to be my baby, right? And we do great like this, man. We do great like this. We don't know what the future will, but me and her do great the way we are now, raising him and advising him. She tells on him twice a week about little stuff he do. Not big stuff, you know, little stuff he do. But we are the way we are, man.
All right. Good. I want to I got to bring your brother on, right? So your son's going to be leaving us, right? So I want to ask your son something, and then I want to ask you something. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, man. It's a little past 9, man. Y'all woke up this morning talking to Lord God to get down here on our WAP radio to go ahead and educate the general public on who your father is. You know what I mean? And we won't have enough time to ever really dive into how much he means to you, how much it means to your mom, his case in general, right? But you got an opportunity right now, God, to, if you could speak to the judge, if the judge said, listen, I want to hear from you, Gabby. I want to hear from you, little God.
You talking to me or my son?
I'm talking to your son. Like, what would you tell a judge, you know, about your pop, man, that you think the judge needs to know about him?
First thing is he's innocent. Like, first thing is that I know he's innocent. So it's like, I basically just tell the judge, that, like, he has good intentions. It's not like he's going to come home and do the same thing he was doing before he got to jail. Like, he's a whole different person. This is not the same person that was wrongly convicted. Like, this is, you feel me? Like, this is a person that's coming home to just make an impact on the time that he had lost. But if I could really dive into the case, she'll understand me better. But if she could take time into looking into the case, she would clearly see that he's innocent just by looking through it. She don't even gotta really take it like she really only needs a cool 10-15 minutes just to look at the case and just hear his side of the story, hear his defense, because I feel like he hasn't got the chance to really get his side of the story out there.
All right. God, your son's ready to go ahead and you and your brother's about to your brother's about to switch with your son so we can have the remaining of the interview. So I want you to tell your son before he leaves, man, how much you appreciate him and how much you love him, man.
Oh, man, love him like nothing else, man.
Like,
of course I appreciate my son, man. Like, he does more for me than he can even imagine, man. Like anything I need done, man, I call him. Like, that's one of the main numbers I call daily. Gio, I need this done. I need you to go over there. I need you to call the lawyer. Text this to the lawyer. I need to call the investigator. I need you to do this. Go help Willa out with this. Go help Grandmama with this. Everything that needs to be done, man. This is my go-to guy to get done. Like, I can call my brother, I can call a lot of people, but I'm raising a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm raising.
Right.
So I have to make him understand responsibilities. So right. I give him responsibilities for him to take care of, and he doesn't, man. I appreciate my son a lot, man. I love him.
All right, man. You can't say it, but I'm shaking his hand right now.
You have 1 minute left.
You know what I mean? Got a good son, man. We're going to go ahead and bring your brother on. I don't know if you're going to be able to call back in, but we're going to bring your brother on.
I'm about to call right back.
No, God, we're going to finish the remaining interview with your family. So.
You said what?
We're going to finish the remaining of the interview just with your family, because we only have 10 minutes left. And we want to make sure that I could dive in, because I ain't really get to really holler at your family. But it's more for you. We got your video. You always can call in. This ain't the last interview, but we just want to make sure that we tap in with your family for this last 10 minutes, all right?
Sure, So do you need me to call back or no?
No, not at this point. Not at this point.
So, all right, man, I appreciate.
Of course.
I appreciate everything.
Is anything you want to say to the listeners before you go off, though?
Please listen and help my story get to the right.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
All right, before the garbage just got cut off. If I got his brother on the line, we got his brother on the show. Oh, Wild Brady, he been sitting patiently, but I want to hear from him as well. So I'm gonna ask him to introduce himself, and I'm gonna ask you to introduce yourself, but also just tell me your relationship to Gabi, and why you're here today, bro.
Well, how you doing? I'm Shiz. I'm Gabi's brother. Me and Gabi were not biological brothers, but we were raised up as brothers in literally a few houses away from each other.
Okay.
So I was in this woman's household probably more than Gabi was sometimes. Okay. I was eating just like those plates, just how he was. So it was a me and Gab, like, we weren't always the most innocent kids.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? We all, it's true, we used to play football. We used to, you know, do every little thing a normal kid would do.
Right.
You know, we did it. Right. But then, you know, we also did other things that may have not been looking, you know, like an innocent child. You get what I'm saying?
Mischievous
things. You get what I'm saying? But the thing is, you know, throughout the years, God always had integrity. God always had, you know,
great character.
A hell of a character, you know, because it's like, if he did something, he was going to tell you he did it. You get what I'm saying? And then even if he didn't, if it wasn't right, he'd be like, man, I fucked up. I'm sorry about the language
cool.
and stuff like that. But,
cool.
You know, so it's like, I remember, like, with, like, even when this whole situation came about, you know, I don't like talking to nobody about their situations, like in their cases or anything that happens, right? So usually, I didn't even ask. I'm like, man, what happened? Like, none of that. It wasn't none of that. It was, you know, I heard more from other people what happened before God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
streets.
So yeah, the streets was talking. You get what I'm saying? So it was like, with me, right away, I just knew. I'm like, damn, I gotta get my brother out of this stuff. You know, out of this situation, because right. he didn't do this. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, when me and him finally seen each other face to face, it was like,
how many years later?
When the situation happened, I was upstate.
Okay.
I was just coming home. And they got Gabi for the previous crimes and that he was already incarcerated for before they got him for the case, you know. And so growing up, like I said, when we took to the streets, and at the end of the day, just how you said earlier, you know, you were innocent of your crime, but, you know, the things you did beforehand
Absolutely.
Really put you in the position
right.
for that to happen.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's how it happens. You know, like, we put ourselves around certain people, places, and things, and, you know, you can sit there and stuff like this transpire, but you know, but he really didn't. When I got to talking to him, it was a lot later, you know. because I was incarcerated. And then when I came home, I still ain't learned my lesson. So I went back in. Mm-hmm. So I had to go back in to meet him the wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't visit him. You know, I visited him the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And but since we're brothers throughout the whole years, we always kept correspondence and stuff like that through the prisons and stuff like that. This time now we're in the same prison together. And he's like, look, man, I ain't do this and I gotta get out. Like, the first thing he's saying is like, my son out there, you know, my mom. But like, more so like, you know, he's like, yo, my son, like, my son out there, I'm scared, I gotta get my son, you know,
right,
in a better position. So I'm like, all right. Now he's telling me more about, like, actually, like, yo, his innocence and all that. And I'm like, look, I already know. Like, I know. And he's like, what? And I'm telling him what the streets are saying. I'm telling him what actually is going on. And, you know, he's like, I got to get this out there.
And it's crazy that you say that, because a lot of people that we're incarcerated with, myself, Swab, we know individuals that are sitting in prison for crimes they didn't commit, either because they look like the person or they was hanging with the person. And it just so happens that people don't understand, when we get locked up, we're not talking to the cops about a case that we have no idea on. People are like, well, you knew what was going on. You should have said something. And no, that's not how you go into this when you're arrested. You're arrested hoping that the system does its job. The system ultimately does its job. They find out who exactly did this crime. The fundamental laws of justice are you get sentenced accordingly to the act you played into the actual crime. So when you got a person, when God first told you that, yo, bro, I ain't do this, right? What was your first thought, though? Because this is what people do. Mm-hmm. Even our own family, yeah, like, bro, come on, man, you ain't do this. But it was different for you because you knew the true story,
yeah,
before you seen him again, because what the streets were saying.
Yeah.
So how did you, when you seen him again and he told you he didn't do this, like, what did you do? What did you tell him to keep his mind motivated to continue to fight?
Honestly, the real honest answer is, I'm like, look, man, you got to do whatever you got to do. You know, like, and that's like, when I say whatever, like, I was still in
your mindset?
My mindset wasn't all the way developed and transformed at the time.
Right.
So I'm on the type time, like, you need to get a cell phone in this joint. You need, right, you get what I'm saying? Because that's how I know, that's how I knew to be the case. You get what I'm saying?
That's how I had it. I had a couple cell phones upgraded. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have that line of a communication. So you ain't saying nothing wrong.
Yeah. So it's like, because like at the end of the day, it's like not saying that you need to do something, but you need that communication. You need that line of communication. Because thing is, when you're in those situations, and especially when you're innocent, it sucks. It feels like nobody hears you. It feels like nobody wants to listen
to
the
you.
Innocence. And nobody wants to believe you.
Right.
And when you know a story, when you know the whole thing, and you be like, oh, wow. It's like you want to help him, like, because it's like, this is my brother. We grew up in the same household. We went through the same things. We've overcame a lot of hurdles together. You get what I'm saying? And we went through a lot of, we went through highs and lows. You get what I'm saying? Throughout life. And this is just another low, but then this is one that you, like, I gotta save him from. You get what I'm saying? Because when you know the true story.
Get a water for his mom.
When you know the true story, it's like you feel compelled to help it be heard the same way, you know, because I've been innocent at times. You get what I'm saying? This stuff I've been innocent about as well. And I'm like, you know what? I wish someone had heard me. I wish someone listened. You know, I wish someone understood. So it's like when it was a hurt, you know, like, it's like always, like, my father was military, so it's like, you know, I was always, you know, no man left behind.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And my father was a Marine, my brother's a Marine, you know, uncles. You get what I'm saying? It was like I always had that instilled in me, no man left behind. And it's like, and to see your brother and know that he innocent and know, and we shouldn't, and you know how it is to share those experiences of incarceration with mm-hmm. him, is like, that hurts. It's like, I don't want to, like, some people, they don't understand. You be happy to go home, but then you be sad to leave your brothers behind that you know is yeah. not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
You know, like, you crying coming home when you're supposed to be really, you know, cheerful and happy, you know? So that's sort of, I had, like, that was sort of a feeling I had with my brother, like, you know, because it's like, I love him. That's my bro, like, that's, you know? And I know he's innocent.
I want you to say something to his mom. I don't know y'all communication. I don't know how much you're around his mother. So I want you to tell her a little bit about what you said. You know, you don't gotta get real deep into it, but just the fact that as his brother, that you support her, that you stand by her, that you do whatever you possibly can for her. You know, I think that's important for her to hear. You know what I mean? So I want you to take the time to, you know, tell her, you know what I mean, how much she means to you, but also how much you stand by her son. I think it's important for her to hear that. She needs that.
No, without a doubt. Before I tell her, you know, I want to tell the audience, like, I'm telling her this, but we demonstrate this every day. Like, we demonstrate it.
There you go.
Like, you know, I'm here just same way I'm here, right here. Anytime she call, anytime she need, anytime, you know, Lil Gob need, anytime. When we talk about the present, when Lil Gob said, yeah, he's not here, but he here,
mm-hmm.
like, that presence is always going to be there, because it's like, if he needs clothes, right now he needs a job, he's got a job. You get what I'm saying? You know, whichever way we can sit there and make a phone call, do something, or be present, whichever way we can, is like, the words that are going to be said, she probably say, I know before. You get what I'm saying? Because, like, we there 100%. Mm. But, mami, lo que yo quieren, que yo te digo es que, Gabi no, you know, en Gabi no estando aquí, you know, yo te soporto, y tú sabes, los hijos tuyos te soportan como, you know, y siempre te van a soportar estar aquí. You know, Gabi no está, pero nosotros siempre, claro, vamos a estar aquí.
Siempre. Sí, siempre ellos han estado siempre conmigo. No hay un día que yo no lo llame a él, que me coja la llamada. Y si no la coge, la llama rapidito para atrás. Mis hijos siempre están en el apoyo, apoyándome, tú sabes. Dándome fuerza que necesito. Porque sí. No es fácil ver a mi hijo allí pagando una condena que él no la hizo.
She said her kids are always there. There's not a day that go by that she don't call him and he don't answer. So even though Gabby's not here, he's here and present and will always be. Because she knows that he didn't do the crime he's serving time for.
I want you to ask her that, as a mother, how does that feel to know that she has you? She has me. She has her son. She has Suave. She has a support team. Because that means a lot to a mom. Because you got a lot of people that don't want to support. Listen, yes, we know people. Like, we're like, all right, man, I ain't supporting Bull. I don't ever have this and that. So to know that you have people to support you is a testament to who Gabi is as a man. So ask her, how does that feel to know that her son is supported the way he is?
¿Cómo se siente? saber que usted tiene un cuerpo de soporte con las amistades de Gaby, que son como hermanos, que siempre están ahí para usted y siempre van a estar ahí para usted. ¿Cómo se siente? ¿Cuál es ese sentido saber que usted tiene ese soporte?
Me siento muy bien porque esto, eso se lo ha ganado él, porque él es un buen muchacho. No es porque sea mi hijo, porque es mi hijo y lo amo y lo adoro, pero es un buen muchacho. Y ha sido para mí esto bien duro, pero le doy gracias a ustedes que han estado ahí apoyándome, tú sabes, y apoyándolo a él. Aunque él no esté, pero él sabe que quienes lo quieren y quienes lo quieren para el bien. ¿Entiendes? Él sabe eso.
She said, not only because Gaby is her son, but because he is a great man and the support that he got today from his family, friends, and community is something that he earned. It's not something that was just given to him. He earned that support.
We're coming up on our time on LWOP Radio. We got about 2 minutes left. So I want to make sure that the viewers know exactly who we're talking about. So can you tell me Gaby's full name and his number, if you know it? Because we want people to be able to reach out and contact him.
Gabriel Ortiz, the number offhand, you got it memorized, right? What's it memorized?
QA4512.
Gabriel Ortiz.
QA4512.
He's at SEI Phoenix. If you're listening, if you could support him, whether you be a nonprofit legal organization, if you're a lawyer, if you're a family, if you're a mother, if you anybody out there and you're listening right now and you could support this man with his innocence, you know what I mean? We ask you to go ahead and contact him. Reach out to him. You know what I mean? We need to get his story out there. I want to end with this question, man. Gaby's a brother of mine, and when we spoke to him a couple of days ago, me and Swai, we said, listen, man, we know you're innocent, and we're going to get your story out there. We're going to go ahead and have the general public know exactly what transpired in your case, and we're going to do everything in our power to get it into the right hands. So this is my last question for y'all, and this is for his mom, and this is for you. If you had an opportunity, let's start off with his mom. If you had an opportunity to sit in front of Larry Krasner and you had an opportunity to say exactly what Gaby means to you and what it would mean to have him home, what would you tell Larry Krasner?
Si usted tuviera una oportunidad de sentarse al frente del fiscal de la ciudad de Filadelfia, Larry Krasner, y dejarle saber algo, ¿qué sería que usted quisiera decirle a ese hombre de Gaby?
Que mi hijo es inocente.
She would like to tell the district attorney of Philadelphia she had the opportunity that her son is innocent, period.
And what would it mean to have him home?
¿Y qué significa para ti tener a su hijo en tu casa?
Oh, my God. Mi mundo.
The world.
Mi mundo.
The world.
Same question.
As short as how you said earlier, you know, I wouldn't be here. I have friends that I know are guilty of the crimes that they committed. And I still support them in whichever way I can, you know. But when I have somebody that I know is innocent, I wouldn't put my credibility out there. You know, I wouldn't online. I wouldn't put my time. I wouldn't waste my time out. None of that. You know, this is my brother. I know he's innocent. If given a chance to look through his case, you will see he's innocent. You know, I just ask for the opportunity and the time to look at it, you know, to look the case over. And it's not going to take much, you know, because there's a lot to show the innocence. It's just the time he hasn't been able to get into the court. You know, so I just ask for a chance for you to just look over it and justice to be, you know, true justice, you know, to be given, you know, because a lot of things were unfortunate in this case. You get what I'm saying? From crooked cops to, you know, a lot of things went wrong, and I just ask that you now look at the case for what it is. The same way I made my decision and I stand by this man, the same way his mom fights for his, you know, she's not fighting because this is her son. She knows, that's why all she said was innocence. Because the innocence, you see the innocence. And I just ask that you look through it. Whether it's Larry, whether it's anybody, you know? But I would really appreciate it if you look through it, Larry.
This is, I want to thank the listeners for tuning in to LWOP Radio. This is Fet Life Station every Friday from 11 to 12. We also on Spotify. You can also check us out also on YouTube. I want to thank Lil Gabi. I want to thank my man Shiz. I want to thank his mom. I want to thank Gabi, who's at SEI Phoenix, Gabriel Ortiz. You reach out to him. This is what we do, man. These are real stories, man. Don't leave this story and 5 minutes later forget this person. This is talking about an innocent man serving 17 and a half to 35 or 18 to 36, whatever his sentence may be. We're just asking to, if you got the resources, lend them, man. Free somebody. It ain't a gift until you give it back, man. Help this man out. He's a good brother. So I want to thank everybody who's listening. I want to thank the family. And just want to say tune in, man, each and every week.
And you are listening to LWOP Radio on FetLifeStation.com. If you have a story out there that you think LWOP need to highlight, contact us at 215-778-6024. Justice.
All right, it's Reentry Rob tuning out. Is there anything you want to say?
Yeah, gracias por invitarme y que lo apoyen, que él es inocente. Gracias.
All right, you're welcome.
Police homicide detective Philip Nordo has been sentenced to decades behind bars for sexually assaulting witnesses and informants. He could be in prison for almost 50 years. Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner said it was an extremely troubling case.
This is a terrible abuse of power. This is a terrible abuse of position to coerce and to victimize other people.
The DA's office says it has reviewed dozens of cases involving Nordo. They say at least 5 people wrongfully convicted of homicide have been exonerated as a result. Nordo's attorney says his client is innocent and they plan to appeal.
What does this button do?
Got all these demons in me. Lord, wash all this blood off my hands. All this greed and envy. All around me had to cut my loosings. It's so much easier to fly with no burden. I could point the finger, but nobody's perfect. Should've known better. Should've known better.
We still run it up. If you get content with just okay, then you don't want enough. Paper chase to sum it up. Running from these demons, I've been dreaming about them hunting us. Paranoid is on them tuck. But the press, we gotta slide. Try and put this pride aside. Attitude gonna get me killed. I get that from my mama's side. Movie time if we up late. How I wash his blood off my hands, I still see his face. 40K to beat the case. Love, hurt, and pain kills. Pussy mixed with pain pills. Hit his hood so many times, it feel like the same drill. Scream squad, then he changed. Wonder how his gang feel. I be with them killers in the trenches, grandma.